Commonly at times we call it the fivefold ministry because there's five aspects of this ministry, as well as the gifts of the Spirit has to have the fruits of the Spirit flowing through the congregation. Now we can read from Romans chapter 12 as well as Ephesians chapter 4 verses 7 through 14, and we covered some of this on Wednesday night. Wednesday night was kind of we're on the discover aspect of our spiritual gifts. So we're going to cover discover, going to hopefully wrap the discover part up. Wednesday night we'll be talking the delight, and then develop and deploy will follow. But we will be starting reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 14, opening with this in the King James, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That verse right there puts it all into one big rounded lump, and it says, but unto every one of us. Can we just say that this morning? Every one of us. You guys sounded pathetic. I'm sorry. Come on, get your playground voices out. Husbands, when you want to talk to your wife and she's in the back room, and wives, your husband's in the garage, use your voice. Let's say it again. Unto every one of us is what? Is given grace. According to what? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. So when we look at this, Paul is beginning to unravel spiritual gifts. Before he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Basically, he's saying before he left and ascended unto heaven, he took this kingdom of Satan and bound them and gave men gifts, women gifts, young people gifts. He gave gifts unto his church, unto his bride. Then we're going to skip on and to verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets. This is where we get the fivefold ministry. Some prophets and some apostles and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why did he give these gifts to the church? He comes back and for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the body of Christ. It is important that we have to understand what these gifts are for and the purpose that they serve. They're not to edify ourselves. They're to edify and perfect the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Notice he's talking about maturity process here. No more children tossed and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Boy, you can go online today and you can see and you can hear and you can, if there's not very many bookstores around anymore, but it used to be you could go to the bookstores, and man, you can find every kind of book out there on whatever type of a doctrine you were looking to find. Doctrine basically is a teaching. So Paul is giving this warning. He says these gifts are to help edify, mature the body so that you're no more like children being tossed and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You have to understand the context and the reading and the history behind this letter to the church at Ephesus. The church had just finished up within just the past few years from the law of Moses. The church was under the law. All of mankind was under the law. And then Jesus Christ comes into the scene, and the time or the dispensation, God deals with humanity through various dispensations. So the dispensation, they went from the law, and now they're under the dispensation of grace. So Jesus being born and living and dying and raising from the dead, so the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this gospel that we enjoy today was in its infancy stage. And everybody was trying to make money off of it and was trying to get credit for it. And all kinds of doctrines were being injected into the church. So when we look at this, when we look at verse 4, verse 7, the word but here, but to each one of us has been given, as Christ has been given grace. So the word but there means to go, that we're going in a slightly different direction. I'm amazed that when Brother Peter was talking this morning, how much of his lesson, I was thinking as he was preaching and he was saying, I don't want to steal your thunder. And I'm like, no, this is just God confirming to us that we need to understand. Here, Paul, he's talking about unity in this. He talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in you all. So when we look at unity, we are all part of the body of Christ. Unity. But we don't all have the same function. The giftings that Brother Repka has is going to be different than the giftings that Brother Ray has or anyone else has. We have our own gifting package. We're all working under the unity of Christ, but we don't all have the same function or form as in uniformity. So every Christian has a spiritual gift package. I prefer the language than just a singular spiritual gift, because God gives us an array of abilities that's going to give you that lineup in whatever pattern of ministry or whatever ministry God is calling you into. He wants you to do. He's going to gift you for that. And to every one of us, but to each one of us, he has given grace. God didn't have to do this. God didn't have to do this. God didn't have to give each and every one of us a spiritual gift or giftings. So we look at this, and we've been talking about discover. How do I identify? How do we identify a spiritual gift or giftings in our lives? Well, we have to start off with this. First of all, if you're going to identify a spiritual gift, it requires lots of time getting to know the one that is giving the gifts. If you don't have a relationship with God, it's going to be very difficult to nigh impossible to have any giftings from God. It's just like if I have no relationship with you, I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. You never call me. You never talk to me. There's nothing there, and yet Christmas comes around and you expect a gift from me. You see, we typically give gifts based upon relationship, don't we? My granddaughter just had her 16th birthday. Can you believe that? I got a 16-year-old granddaughter. That is awesome. I'm excited about this. I told her, I said, I'm so excited because you're going to be able to get your car and drive it over, and you're going to be able to take Poppy to Menards. But you see, the reason that we went to her 16th birthday party and we gave her a gift was because of a relationship. So if you want to have and receive gifts from God, you have to get to know God. And you have to learn to understand God's characteristics and God's traits. The world today pictures a God that is very judgmental, that is full of hatred and wants to just like lean over and just zap humanity. But we serve a God that is so very, very long-suffering. For 2,000-plus years, he has dealt with the sin of humanity, and he is still dealing with it, and he is still forgiving it today. It takes us knocking on God's door with a sincere heart to serve his people to do this. We also need to pray and fast. We had 3 days of prayer and fasting. And the reason we had that was so we could pray and fast and focus on discovering what that gift or giftings are that God has for us. We have to go right to the one who created you. We have to go right to the one who gives these out. God knows the plans he has for you. I can help you get there, but God knows every little detail of what's going to happen in your life, and he's going to know precisely what you need at what point in your life, and God will give you that as you continue on your journey. You have to ask him to allow you to become sensitive. So many times we struggle with sensitivity because we live in a world to where that if you express your feelings sometimes, it's a sign of weakness. There's nothing wrong if you are a man or if you are a woman and you have problems showing your emotion. There's nothing wrong with getting down on your knees and calling out and crying and weeping before the Lord and saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I am saved by your grace. I am so thankful that you have taken the time, that you have called me out personally, and you have gifted me, or you are seeking to gift me with any number of gifts. We have to ask God to examine our hearts and forgive us for our sin. We have to thank God for all that he blessed and has blessed us with, including your gifts and the opportunities to bless others. God doesn't give you gifts just for you. God doesn't give you blessings just so you can relish in blessing. God gives you that so you can share it and give it away. And then God, in turn, realizes that, hey, you know what, Brother Dennis? I've blessed him. I've blessed him in many different ways. And look at this. He's sharing that blessing. You know what? God's going to look down and say, here's a willing vessel. I can pour through him. A lot of us, we get that blessing and we just want to stop with it. Say, well, thank you, Lord, for the new car. Nobody's riding this car but me. When I go to church, I'm not picking anybody up because they get in with salt on their feet. And we draw the line and what do we do? We block off. God says, I gave you a new car. I gave you a minivan because you asked for it, and it's all-wheel drive, and it's got a sunroof in it, and it's got automatic doors. I gave that to you so you could pick up people on the way to church. You won't pick up anyone, so, okay. We have to understand where our blessings come. We have to stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. The Bible is literally, we talk about Sunday mornings, our Bible lesson, God's Word for Life. Our Bible is a manual for our life. If you don't understand the manual, I recommend you take a Bible study and learn how to utilize the manual that God has given to us. There's a lot of things I don't understand in there, and I have to seek advice, I have to pray, and I have to read and say, God, show me. So when we look at our Bible and we talk about spiritual gifts, we can find them in Romans 12, verse 6 through 8. We can find them in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We can find them in Ephesians 4, 11, and on. We can find them in 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11. And always we have to read those verses before and after. So we put them in the context of reading. Put them in the context of which it was written. So ask God to show you examples from his word as to where your gift might have been used in the past. A good scripture for that is 2 Timothy 3:16. God doesn't change. So if he has a gift for you today, Understand something. He had it for someone before you. Your situation is not going to be identical to those you read about in the Bible, but God and his message do not change. Brother Peter spoke this morning about Pastor Peter spoke about Apostle Peter this morning. And Apostle Peter had some giftings. It took him a while to get there, but he got there. God was patient. He was patient with himself. There are times when he may have tried earlier to exercise the gift and it came off wrong. So your situation is not going to be identical to those you read about in the Bible, not going to be identical to the person sitting across from you or across the aisle from you or across the building from you today. But God has his message and it will not change. And then, very important, we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. So many times we get this. Oh, God's gifted me with the gift of healing. And we don't pay attention. We just feel that. So what are you drawn to? What areas are you noticing you're sensitive to? The reason these are important is that the Holy Spirit will plant seeds, begin to plant seeds into your life, seeds of interest. You're interested in when people go down and they need the prayer of the sick and you start to read scriptures on that, and as you read scriptures on that, your faith begins to develop when it comes to the gift of healings. It could be any gift. So the reason these are important is that the Holy Spirit is going to plant seeds in you. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, and all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. So areas you didn't pay attention to in the past are going to suddenly stand out to you in ways that seem natural and ordinary to you. What maybe perhaps in the past you did not see yourself standing behind some sort of a podium or platform and speaking to people in a public venue as we have going on right here, right now. But if you begin to pay attention and you go through the prayer and the fasting and staying in your Bible and you're drawing yourself closer to God. But you have to understand, it's only natural and ordinary for you. God typically is going to begin. Now, we're talking about the beginning of the gifting process. Some of you have been involved in this and have had gifts for 25, 30-plus years, however long you've been serving Christ. So when you look at this, God typically starts out with something you are familiar with. It's ordinary. These, with a different gift, sometimes we see a situation, and sometimes we struggle in these areas. But I just want you to pay attention, Imagine, just example. The Rossing spoke to us on Wednesday evening, and they did a superb job, and I want to thank them for their testimonies. And I know it's hard sometimes when you get up and you have to talk about God's giftings and the giftings that God has given to you, and it sounds like you're bragging, but really you're talking about how God uses humanity. And the Rossings were talking about how God uses them, and some of, as Sister Rossing spoke about, some of her natural talent and abilities with the background of nursing, and Brother Glenn's with the background of art. But I'm gonna throw this out, and I'm gonna show you exactly in the next few minutes how this unfolds. Let's say your gifts determine your response. When we send out a one call or the message goes forth and there's prayer requests that we have an elderly member of our church who's been admitted to the hospital, Okay, I'm going to use this as an example because we can. This can cover so many different areas. What is your initial response? So we hear about this, and we have a few folks in the hospital right now, and so what happens is when you hear about this, something begins to move in your spirit, and your gifting begins to stir up. Your heart begins to think about this, and your gifts will determine your response to this news. So you hear about an elderly saint and those blessed with the gift of mercy. Follow me. And those blessed with the gift of mercy, their heart will hurt at the news that your brother or sister is suffering. They very well might get teary-eyed and your heart is flooded with compassion and you are going to commit this person to prayer. You see, your gift of mercy begins to step in. God is using that. And then it begins to change. Perhaps some of you, you're blessed with the gift of faith. And this elderly person, this elderly friend, perhaps you're not so distraught over the news of them in the hospital and struggling with their health because God has given you the gift of faith and something begins to stir up with you. It's not the same as mercy, but it's faith, and you can see your brother or sister back in church celebrating with them in a service, and you have complete faith that God is at work and he's going to work all of this out as he intends. So we have the gift of mercy and the gift of faith. Two very different giftings, but two very important giftings. Then we have the gift of encouragement. You see, the gift of encouragement is they hear the news. And what do they do immediately? They say, I want to set up a visit. I want to go visit my brother or sister. They might bring some flowers or maybe a funny card or a balloon or maybe their favorite snacks. Maybe they know that their brother or sister loves snacks, loves Cheetos. Gonna smuggle some Cheetos into the hospital room. It's not a very good snack to smuggle in because you can't eat a Cheeto and people don't know. All you got to do is smile and you got orange teeth. So you brighten up the room. You go up there and you put the flowers and you put the balloons and the cards and you tape them to the wall and the room is filled with hugs, smiles, and laughter. And when you leave that room, even though your brother or sister is in grave pain, you leave that room and your brother and sister is filled with encouragement that there's a body, the church body, cares about me. Then there are those that are blessed with helps. This is important. A very critical ministry. Sister Eileen Manley was probably one of the people that I know of that had one of the greatest gifts of the blessing of helps. To know this person, maybe this brother or sister has a pet at home and you want to make sure. You know, I can't get to the hospital, but you know what? I want to go over to their house and I want to make sure that their cat or their dog's fed or watered. My wife and I recently took a vacation and we had a young couple with the gift of helps come by our house every other day and feed the fish that I have in my office. I inherited some. That's a whole nother story. We'll have to go into that later. But you see, the gift of helps, taking care of things in the house, cleaning, helping someone clean their home, helping someone go to the grocery store and say, I'll go to the grocery store. I'll pick up your groceries or I'll sign up for a meal train. And I'll make sure that you have a warm, hot meal ready and waiting when you get home from the hospital. We have the gift of healing. I've I've known times before where that people have been taken to the hospital in emergency and this isn't looking good. And one or two brothers go up there and they stop by the church and they have us pray over a handkerchief and they go up and they're not going up with mercy or faith or encouragement, or they're not looking at feeding their dog while they're gone, because they're going up there and they're looking for a healing because God has gifted them. You see, the gift of healing can be coupled with the gift of encouragement and also have the backing of the gift of faith. So if you have the gift of healing, you have a gifting package. You're going to the hospital to pray for this person because you're believing that they're going to walk out of that hospital. And then there's a gift of ministering. You see, sometimes we can go up and yes, we can pray, we can encourage. But sometimes we just sit there and we read scripture. I have a brother in the church that for years now has given me a card. My card this morning is Proverbs 19:8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, but he that keepeth understanding shall find good. I can't tell you how often these cards have come in to encourage me, have ministered to me. You see, just a simple card is a gift of encouragement, the gift of helps, the gift of ministry. So we look at all of these, and all of these gifts that God is bestowing and giving to his church, to his body. There's so many more gifts, of course. We have the gifts of administration. There's so many things that go in with that, with how the church operates on an administrative basis. I look at the gifts of administration and our music ministry, and everything has to be scheduled. Brother Phil Demas has incredible gifts of administration, and I'm thankful for that. In addition to the gifts that you may or may not have, you have to pay attention to the gifts that you have. You have to pay attention to the gifts that you don't have. And the reason this is because sometimes we can be tempted to put our effort into something that God has not yet equipped us to do. Did you just get what I said there? Sometimes we look at the gifts that we have, and then we look at the gifts that we don't have, and we desire to have the gifts we don't have, and we try to rush the process. Listen, the enemy will use guilt and discouragement to take away the very areas that God desires you to operate in. So be careful. Don't just go out and see a gift, name it, and claim it. Because maybe God hasn't prepared you properly for that gift yet. And you want it so bad that you're going to just name it and claim it because somebody that you watched on YouTube says just name it and claim it. But that's not what the scripture tells us. Sometimes it's very important that we seek confirmation on our gifts. Sometimes we can become so hyper-focused on a particular gift that we completely miss out on what God has already blessed us with. Pray about this. Ask your spouse. Ask a trusted Christian friend. Ask your pastor or a pastor to see what you feel your gifts are. Pick someone whose fruits show. Did you just get that? Who knows you well and will be honest with you. There are times I've had to sit people down and they've said, well, what do you think about this? I said, well, I really don't see that in you yet. I believe God can do it, but sometimes we just have to be patient. God can use a simple comment from a very important person in our life that he's already placed in our lives to confirm something that he's already been speaking to you about. And we're going to get into this in a little bit more detail when we talk about developing the gift, because I've had so many people come up to me and say, God told me I have a real, I'm just going to lay this out. I have a real big issue when people say, God told me and God hasn't been dealing with me about it. Okay, we're going to get into that. All right, but we have to allow God's will to be done. This is so important. We have to allow God's will to be done. Your gift and how God wants you to walk it out will look so very different from the person next to you. How your spouse, maybe your husband and wife, and you're both praying about your God, your giftings that God desires to give and the gifts you feel God is giving to you. How it unfolds and lays out for your husband is going to be very different than how it works for the wife. Because we're just different. We think different. We process things different. I love my wife, but you know what? We process things very different. And I'm thankful for that. But you need to accept that you might not be blessed with the gifts that you want. There's nothing worse than being jealous over someone that has a gift that you desire. Let God's will be done. We have to allow the affirmation process. If you can get to the place of humbly accepting your gifts, then the Holy Spirit can begin to use you to bless others. And it doesn't have to be so hard to identify spiritual gifts. We ask others. We maybe have a brother or sister. It's two or three witnesses. Two or three witnesses. Doesn't mean you have to have the whole room agree. There are things I've prayed on, and I've shared this with some of you over the years, but there are things I prayed on, said, Lord, I need three witnesses. Three witnesses. And we'll get into that more in the deploying aspect of this. But remember, your gifts are not about you. Not about you, but about blessing others as God puts them in your path. God's gifts, his people, it's his plan. It's his will. It's not my will be done as earth as it is in heaven, but it's his will. Thy will be done. So when we look at this and we're a church body, we talk about people using their gifts. We talk about you using your gift. And here at Calvary Gospel Church, there are ample ways and places that one can take and develop, delight, discover, delight, develop, and deploy. When you get, what do they call those bifocals? You'll understand why it's sometimes I'm looking at letters that got to be 3 foot tall and can't read them. We talk about people using this. We see that here at Calvary Gospel Church all the time. As leaders rise up, they serve in a role, then transition to another area of responsibility. And then those underneath them often are asked to take the next step forward to fill those leadership roles. And we have a number of these gifting transitions taking place right now. In our men's ministry, many of you have probably noticed that Brother Jerry Simmons is stepping back from our men's ministry. He's not here this morning, but Brother Marvin Renvick has been assisting Brother Jerry. Many of the men's events have been down at Brother Marvin Renvick's place, and he's been taking care of running the Sunday evening men's meetings for some time here in the sanctuary. And so this is a change of leadership. We could look at this as, well, this is a leadership change. Well, it is a leadership change, but it's also making room for someone else's gifting. Brother Jerry's stepping up, and Brother Marvin is going to step up and fill that place, and then someone's going to step in that filled Brother Marvin's place. And so we have our security team. Brother Craig Rossing has been over our security for many years now. He's just said, you know what, it's time for me to move on. And Brother Kirby Waters is going to be stepping into Brother Craig Rossing's place in our security team. Some of you may not even know we have a security team here at Calvary Gospel Church. But yes, we do. And next month they will start issuing parking tickets. So I just want to... Just joking. Then we have... We have Brother Philip Stackhouse has stepped up into our sound and running our sound. And you say, well, why is that? It's because Brother Jordan Powell that was over our sound is Brother Jordan and Sister Abby are now over our young, also our youth ministry. And they're kind of serving a dual role for right now. So we look at this, and you probably have noticed that we have a lot of young people going around, and they're taking pictures and such of our services. Have you've seen that? And I'm so excited about this. But see, this wouldn't happen if Sister Raquel Henry wouldn't have stepped up and said, you know what? I feel God is calling me. This is a gifting that I have, and she does tremendous job with all of that and our Facebook and stuff. So you see, all of this stepping up in as our media director, and the question is we have to ask them, how am I growing? How am I growing? Are we allowing our gifting to grow and to be used in the kingdom of God? Your gift, how God wants you to walk it out. When you look at this, God is using people. God has no one else to use but people. And if people don't step up, then God will have to get some other people to step up. And listen, we should all, when we think about some of these giftings, and I talk about the gift of helps, and I'm wrapping this up very quickly here. Our musicians can come, but you can stay seated for a moment. So we should all seek to have giftings or spiritual gifts, but some giftings every Christian has or should have. We talk about basic prerequisites. Remember when we were in junior high and you had to pick out your schedule for senior high, and you had algebra 1 and algebra 2 and algebra 3, or biology 1, biology 2. You had all of these different classes you had to pick out. You couldn't take biology 2 if you hadn't taken biology 1. It's a prerequisite. Some of these prerequisites, some of these giftings, like the gift of helps, the gift of giving, every one of us should have that. A lot of us have it, but we don't exercise it. It's just a handful of people that are always doing the helping, and we should all be doing the helping. Now, what level of helping you can give is based upon your resources. And there are so many times that we look at this, and we look at James. James says we are called to do good works. We are not exempt, any of us. Jesus gave a perfect parable in the New Testament. When Jesus was talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, I love it how that pious Pharisee said, who is my neighbor? When Jesus talks about helping your neighbor, and Jesus goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was not a neighbor to the man that had been beaten up and left on the road. He didn't live anywhere near there. He was traveling through, yet according to God and his mind, all of humanity should be a good Samaritan. Doesn't matter what country they live in. Doesn't matter what neighborhood they live in. If there's a need and you're aware of it, that need should be filled. So we're not exempt from who is my neighbor. Many times we ignore many other needs because we say, well, it's really not my gifting. You see, your gift, you need to accept your giftings. We all need to accept our giftings. And as we get the idea of the spiritual gifts may be given to us, we need to pray for his will, and we need to pray for guidance to use our gifts for his glory. We can stand. Pray to serve others to the best of your ability as you minister to them in love, that the love of Jesus Christ would flow through you. We read in Zechariah, an Old Testament scripture. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Who dares despite the day of small things?" You see, God, so many times we just despise starting small. God calls us to pastoring or to preaching or teaching, and right away we want to get up there. We need a congregation. We gotta do this. And I tell so many of our young ministers, give it time. Let God work through you. Let God work out some of the kinks, or you're gonna have a really rough road. It's taken God 22, 23 years to work out some of my kinks. And boy, some of them, they're still there. So one last thing. You might not feel qualified. Maybe sitting here today or standing here today now, and you say, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've just never felt qualified." Don't stress out about not being ready to function in your gifts. This is where your faith has a chance to grow. Think about this. God created the earth and everything in it. And then, after everything he spoke into existence. And then he formed man with his hands out of the dust of the ground of the Garden of Eden. Out of the very dust that Adam, the very ground that Adam was going to be using to grow the plants and the trees and the fruits that God had provided for them. Adam was formed out of that ground. And then God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he took a rib out of Adam's side, and from that he formed Eve. You see, he's not going to bless you with a gift and then reveal it to you. But he's going to start to equip you. And you may struggle in that equipping process. But he's starting to equip you. And as we struggle with that, we don't like that. We struggle and say, "This isn't me, God. Or I don't want to preach. I don't want to pastor. I don't want to be used in this area." He's equipping us. And then when we are ready, he will begin to operate through us. There's a lot of equipping going on right now. But we struggle sometimes with the operation. That's where deployment comes in. God knows if you take baby steps of faith as you learn to hear his voice and use his gifts. I will tell you this, God is incredibly patient and incredibly kind. He's not seeking to embarrass you. We embarrass ourselves because we're not properly preparing sometimes. And borrowing a line from Dave Ramsey, we should be so thankful and see that we have gotten far more than what we deserve. God is so good. He is so merciful. So if our worship team begins to lead us into worship, I just want to invite you to come down. I don't know where you are today. I don't know how much of a struggle you have. I know my brother here carries a microphone down here with him. You want to show everybody your microphone, brother? Just hold it up there and show them. You see, he's preparing for ministry that God's going to use him in. If we're patient and if we take the time, you're all right, bud. You are more than welcome. I love seeing you down here. It does my heart good. You see, more of us need to have a microphone in our hands, getting ready and prepared for the next level. So as our worship team begins to sing and exercise their gift, I just want to invite you to come down to the front and say, God, I prayed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday about discovering what you have put on my heart. And Lord, I want to learn to delight in that. I want to learn to develop that. And Lord, I want to learn to put that into action, to deploy that. God bless you.